nice cracking cold one, even though it's not the weekend, it's the week's first beer. Welcome back to the show, season one, episode 16. I am joined today with my two co-hosts, Frank and Dylan. I got a PSA before we go on the show. So moving on until NFL season, we will be going live on Monday at 9:05. And then when the Eagles play on Monday night, we'll go back to Sunday. So I just want to make a PSA for everyone. But yeah, I mean, guys, before we get into the first topic, you know, it's been 16 episodes, and I feel like as a brand, we have grown drastically. We have gotten more followers. We've gotten more comments and, you know, likes and comments. So it's been a ride. So I'm glad I am on this ride with you guys. How you guys doing tonight?
Hanging in there, feeling a little bit better. Still battling this goddamn sinus infection, and now it turned into a little bit of, I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. So, battling, hoping. I'm probable going into the weekend though for golfing.
That's good to hear. How are you doing tonight, Frank?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just, you know, I literally did nothing this weekend, and it felt like amazing to like not do anything, because I think for the past like 6 weeks we had like a wedding or like someone's birthday or something going on that I was like, I just want a weekend just to relax, you know what I mean? So it was just nice just to sit on the couch and watch college football all day and not do a damn thing, and then Sunday watch the NFL all day. And my wife's like, so what do you want to do this week? I was like, nothing. She's like, that sounds great to me, actually. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, dude, what sucked is, dude, I got this sinus infection and the bronchitis thing. I went to urgent care the day before I went to Austin for vacation.
Yeah, that sucks.
So, of course, no drinkies because antibiotics and Mucinex, you don't want to drink on them.
Kind of fun.
I mean, I'm not gonna say I had no drinkies
when two
I
went, beers and you're like shirtless trying to start a riot.
Now, I will say the fun part about Austin was the only day I did choose to have like a couple beers was when we went to the Texas Longhorns versus Sam Houston game, and that was an experience and a half. Yeah. Going to that was so cool.
That's awesome. I was very jealous of that when I saw you on there.
Well,
I was,
dude, like, the best part is like I will say the stadium atmosphere was awesome, but being there before the game, like, dude, they have a concert every weekend.
Bowling for Soup playing down there.
Dude, Bowling for Soup played their pregame concert outside the stadium.
Jesus.
Dude, the South just does tailgating so different. Yeah.
And well, so dude, like, we're sitting there and we had just gotten a couple beers and we're sitting there like right by the stage and like we're all thinking like, oh, it's some like, you know, random cover local band or something like that. And then all of a sudden girls are what is it? Girl All the Bad Guys Want by Bowling for Soup comes on, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, that sounds just like Bowling for Soup. And then I like look around the corner, like around the beer stand, and I see the banner behind the stage and it says Bowling for Soup, and I'm like,
oh shit.
I'm like, yeah, that's probably why it sounds just like them. And I start freaking out. And Caitlin's like, what? And then the people we're with, he goes, so who is Bowling for Soup? And I'm like, Jake. And then I'm like, 1985. He goes, oh, them. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of that, like the South, like my, and then we'll get into the first topic. Like they're like formals for the fraternity. They have like Snoop Dogg come out. Like they have all the money. Like their houses are massive. They're like mansions. Whereas little East Coast boys like Dylan and I, we had a townhouse for a fraternity. Oh, and you too, Frank. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot you were in a fraternity. We were in a house where the floor was collapsing in on us and it was just too many people in the house. So it is crazy how the lifestyle for Greek life and just in general for sports is down in the SEC town. So
yeah, like when we went to when I was in the fraternity, we would do like our house only fit like I think like 19 guys. It was like built for a fraternity house, so it was like pretty nice. It was huge. Like we had a chapter room, we had a brother only hangout spot that basically became like brothers and girlfriends basically hangout spot, and then downstairs like the main floor was like the party area, and then for downstairs was like our open party where like freshmen usually just hung out, and we didn't allow them upstairs, basically. Like, Greek life was always upstairs. Yeah, I mean, I feel like when we went for the Simakai, I guess, like, gathering, I forget what it's called, actually. I did it 1 year, and we met with, like, some of the Southern, like, SEC schools. And they're like, yeah, come to our house. And it was at, I think it was at, I forget which school it was, but it was down south somewhere. I can't really tell you which one. We've been to, like, four. But it was at SEC. It was Ole Miss. And they showed us their thing, and it was a McMansion. It could fit, like, I think over 200 kids in house. Their basement was sick, but the best part was they're outside. It was, like, a huge patio where they have stages. They have, like, they're, like, talking about just, like, parties, like, what their, like, costumes were, like, heaven and hell parties and purgatory parties. And, like, some of the party ideas, I was like, whoa, I'm stealing some of these, like,
I will say, we came up with the best mixer theme ever. We never actually did it, but Lewis and Clark in the dark, shout out Ryan Lawler.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
I wish we would have done that one. That would have been hilarious.
The coolest thing I think we ever did was a beach party, and we bought like over 600 pounds of sand and filled it all in the basement. And we called it the Jimmy Buffett, and everybody was just walking around and like, gross ass sand after like 3 hours of just partying, Natty Light just pouring into it. It was disgusting.
That's disgusting.
I bet all your pledges loved cleaning that up.
Yeah, snow shovels and like just throwing it in the dumpster. Whoever the trash man was, I was like, what the fuck?
Well, boys, we got a big week coming up. This is what we've been waiting for all golf season. We got the Ryder Cup. Team USA takes on Team Europe at Bethpage Black. This is one of the most exciting times of year. It happens every 2 years. This, especially being on U.S. soil and in New York City, this is going to be insanity. So how are you guys feeling about the Ryder Cup?
I feel like the shit talking's already started. I mean, you already heard Bryson already talk about that he's going to go after Rory. He's going to chirp, like, nonstop. And then the announcer for the golf channel turned around and called out Bryson saying that he has bots on his YouTube channel and that he's, like, the worst teammate ever because he's the outsider because he's on Live. And the guy's an English, like, writer for golf channel, and I'm like, oh, it's starting. It's already starting, and it's only Monday. So the golf world, it's so funny. It just goes to, like, civil war right during Ryder Cup week. It's just like, I hate you, you don't like me, and I don't give a crap. And that's what I love about Ryder Cup, because blood boils there. Like, you don't see Scotty act any other tournament but the Ryder Cup. You'll hear him loud. You'll hear him chirp. You'll hear him talking that stuff and going, yeah, I know I'm that man. And it's, like, kind of funny because you see him and you're like, oh, he's, like, the top, like, you know, top player in the PGA ever. But, like, he carries himself very well. He's not cocky as this. But Ryder Cup Scotty is different. And it's just so fun to watch.
I already saw you guys see Rory already started talking shit like his little weasel self always does.
Yeah.
No.
He's like, he said Bryson always has to bring up other people's names because to make himself good. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, bro. Like, nobody cares about you. We care about Bryson.
Yeah. I mean, he's Team EU. So basically, screw him. Like, yeah. I don't think people understand, like, the Ryder Cup used to be at these, like, pristine, like, I'm not saying Bethpage is not pristine, but they're used to, like, these country club, you gotta, like, be respectful, you gotta be like this, you gotta be like that. Like, even going on that course, it's just great. You're going to a Muni, and you're going to people that love golf. You're in New York City. I'm gonna say Philadelphia and New York City, they're bitter rivals, but they're scumbaggy in the best way possible as fans. And those people are going to be there. And people are already saying, like, yeah, this is going to be loud. It is going to be menacing. The only thing that does scare me, though, for the Ryder Cup is the weather's not going to be that great. So is that a benefit to the English and Irish players? Probably, because they're used to playing in that. Guys here really don't play that much in, like, really bad weather. Guys in Europe do play in a lot of bad weather. So do I still think we have a home field advantage. But the weather is not on our side right now.
Well, and I mean, even if it's crappy weather, we're still going to show up. I mean, this is, like you said, it's like, I don't want to put it in that same context, but it's kind of like the battle of the best. And this is Europe versus USA. So this is going to be great golf. We have matched, we have made a team of 12, top 12 best golfers for the US, top 12 golfers best for Europe. And this is going to be insane. I mean, this is something that, I mean, as we have mentioned multiple times on this podcast, like Keegan Bradley, this is what he lives for. And he's Captain America. He's going to show up. He's going to pair up Team USA very well. And I think we will see, you know, something that hasn't been done in a while, that USA takes it to Europe. And I mean, this is going to be top-notch TV.
Did you hear Frank already says that he wants to be paired up with Rory the whole weekend?
That's going to be insanity. That's going to be awesome. Dude, I mean,
if we want to get in Rory's head, Cantlay and DeChambeau.
I think you put Scheffler and DeChambeau.
No, you
speaking
have
of that,
you have to do Cantlay because Rory hates slow play, and Cantlay is a slow play merchant.
Yeah, he is.
So if you want to throw Rory off, you put Bryson after Cantlay.
I wish they were. I wish they were all mic'd up. Like if they're all mic'd up, like the YouTube classics and everything like that, and you heard everything they said, dude, that would be so fun. It would be a gauntlet.
So, briefly, who do we want to see Team USA? Who do we want to see the pairs? Okay,
Bryson and Rory, automatic.
No, like for –
just for our team?
Yeah, just for our team. There we go. Sorry.
I would say Cantlay and DeChambeau just because I know they're going to be paired with Rory. That's like the main – it's not that I'm like, oh, they play so well together, yada, yada. It's just to get in Rory's head because Rory is one of the more dangerous players on that Team Europe team. Yeah. And if we can get in his head and throw him off, that kind of throws off the rest of that. I would like to see Xander and Scotty. I would probably like to say Russell Henley and Harris English together.
I like that.
I'm looking at the roster right now. I'd probably say JJ Spawn and Ben Griffin.
Okay.
And then I think
that's the weakest.
What was it?
I think that's our weakest squad, but I think that's the strongest, weakest, strongest.
Yeah. True. And then I'd probably do Morikawa and Cam Young and then JT and Sam Burns.
Okay. So yeah. I was listening to a podcast, right? And it was the 4Play podcast. And they had Xander Schauffele on the show, right? And he said he doesn't care who he's matched up with, but his best duo for him to match up with is, I think he said Cam Young. I think they have played together in the past before, and they have just meshed well together. So I would like to see that happening because he was pretty high on that, and it seemed confident about that. But, again, I mean, I would love to see – I think I would definitely want to see Scotty – I don't know, Scotty. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because there's a lot of, you know, people that you can put together that would be a good duo. So we'll see what happens. I think we'll find out what tomorrow on Tuesday who the pairs are.
I think the pairs.
So
I watched YouTube the other day of them building and all the statistics and everything. Like if you're up in this, if you're in the fairway, you have a probable chance, only like 40% of getting a birdie, like, you know, 70%. But if you're in the rough, it's like 80% bogey, and it's just like, and if you landed here, like they were just like marking every single spot out in the Ryder Cup. Like, if you land here, if you land here, if you land here on every single hole. And it was really interesting to watch because you're like, oh shit, like you don't realize how hard Bethpage Black is until you look at it just like statistically. And it's just like, oh my God. And then where they put the tee boxes, they're like, yeah, these tee boxes, an average golfer would shoot like a 150. Like, it, average golfer. And I'm like, and us four, us three want to go up there in sometime in October or November, like dickheads.
So I was wrong. Shoffley said that him and his good friend Patrick Cantlay are a good duo. They've played duo golf in the past. They kind of met via duo golf. So, I mean, I think Keegan Bradley knows this, and he will match who matches best together. Because I feel like for a perfect duo, you need somebody who is a long shot, right? Who can get the ball far and down the fairway. And then you need somebody that's good around, you know, 200 out. And I think we'll have a duo where we see somebody who's a long driver and then somebody who's, you know, not that great of a driver, but he's really good around the green. So I think that's kind of the best recipe for success for Team USA.
I think that's the way to go with Team USA is just, you know, get the good driver guy and get a short shot guy that could get on the green, get close to the pin, and just pray that you can putt. I mean, Team Europe, I looked at them. They don't have a lot of long drive guys, but they do have a lot of really good putters. So, I mean, that's the thing that sort of scares me the most here is, okay, they might be, you know, 12 feet and we might be, you know, 6 feet, but you got to putt to make it. You know what I mean? And that's what's scaring me a little bit. But at the same time, Bethpage Black is an asshole. I mean, it is hard course.
Yeah.
I never played it. I had friends that are scratch golfers that played it and they were happy coming out with 80s. They were like, dude, it's ridiculous, like how hard it is. Like, you think you land it right, and then you see your ball rolling past you. You know, like, so there's just weird things like that that just happen to you. I mean, me and Dylan were playing the Donald Ross course, and I had a chip, like, literally, like, 3 feet in front of me. Had to hit the, not the green, but, oh, my God, what's the fringe? I hit the fringe perfectly. Like, I thought I did. I was like, oh, my God, this might roll in. It went 30 feet past the hole. And I was like, dude, I couldn't do it any better. And it was just like, you really need to actually play the course. You got to be like, all right, I need to be uphill on this chip. And if I miss right. Like, there's so many different situations at Black that you have to really think that out. And I really want to go back to Jeffersonville too, Dylan, because I don't think we just played right there at all.
Yeah. And I'm excited for Bull Rock on Sunday, though.
Yeah.
It's going to rain. It's going to rain all week, but then the weekend's good. But that rough is going to be devious.
Thick.
Yeah.
Thick.
Yeah. So, Dalton, to answer your question for the Ryder Cup, each team is matched up with two golfers per squad. So you have two American golfers play with each other against two European golfers. And that's kind of how it's match play. That's how they team up the groups. So it's staggered start times. So I don't know when the first tee time is.
I think the first one's at 8 a.m. on Friday and Saturday, and I think Sunday it's like 7.
Okay, so I guess whoever
keep is, you up in there,
whoever's leading, they will have the later tee time the last day. Is that how it works?
Yeah,
usually how it works. Yeah.
So, like, if it's just for Dalton, if it's Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau, they play against Rory and Victor Hovland, right? Whoever wins that match kind of moves on to the next round, and then the other golfers play. So it's to the point where it's kind of like a March Madness tournament, right? So whoever has the best score first day for Team USA, they will play on the second day. They'll be paired up with the best score of the first round for Team Europe. That's how it works. And that's kind of
the rankings.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's opposite of March Madness. You don't play against the weakest, you play the strongest.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm super excited for this. We'll be, like Dylan said, we'll be on the golf course. We'll be live
streaming. We'll have iPads too.
We'll be live streaming our reactions to the last day of the Ryder Cup. So stay tuned for that. We're golfing with our buddy. Shout out to Hunter Hudak. He'll be on the course with us. We're excited. I think the three of us will be wearing our Ryder Cup gear just to seem like we're part of the Ryder Cup. I'm just really excited. It felt like it's been so long. You know, we waited so long for the Ryder Cup. Now it's finally here. It's just like, boom. Kind of like what I was saying with Dylan with the guys trip for our fraternity. Like it seems so far off. Then all of a sudden it's right there. So this is an exciting week for Team USA, and this is an exciting week for golf standalone. So I'm excited to see what the outcomes are. So
I was kind of pissed. So I got offered tickets to go to the Ryder Cup on Friday. It was like $800. I was going to go. And then my wife's like, hey, we have four more weddings to go to. Three of them were traveling to. And I was like, so you're saying, she just looked at me. She's like, don't make me say it. I'm like, all right, I won't go then. She's like, next time. I'm like, there won't be a next time.
Yeah. So moving on up, let's talk about our guy. We have more stuff to talk about the Ryder Cup.
Do you think this is the same level as the hype of the Masters, or is this like a different kind of hype? Because like how I was explaining to my friend was, yeah, like this isn't like the Super Bowl, but this is like playing against your biggest rival during a season.
Yeah, this is like Texas, Oklahoma. This is like Penn State, Ohio State, or Penn State, Michigan.
No, Michigan or Ohio State.
Oh, that's a big rivalry too. That's okay. That's the
biggest rivalry in NCAA football.
No, actually, I think Texas and Oklahoma is a bigger rivalry if we're going to get really down to the nitty gritty. The Red River rivalry is fucking sick.
We ChatGPT this. I know you don't remember this, Dylan, but we ChatGPT
this. I do remember everything, actually. Thank you.
The number one was ranked was Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, that's just because everyone glazes them.
Bro, that is one of the – I'm not getting into this argument right now.
But, yeah.
This at the golfing on Sunday.
So, Dylan, do you think the hype around this is higher than the hype around the Masters?
So I think it's a different kind of hype. I mean, the thing about the Masters is it's like the first major.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, like, I always knew as a kid, like, I've loved the Masters for forever. Like, first off, I always knew my birthday was coming up when I was a kid, when I started seeing the Masters commercials on ESPN. Because I'm an April baby. And, dude, when I heard that Masters little jingle and then saw the azaleas and the green and yellow, I was like, oh. Here we go. And so I feel like it's almost like the first week of NFL football too, where you're like, it's that kind of excitement. And the Masters is so prestigious too, where it's just like, you can't beat it. I feel like there's no like event in golf that feels like the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. You know, I feel like it's unfair to like rank or compare.
No, I think the Masters feels like the Super Bowl. I really feel like the Masters.
I feel like it's apples to oranges at that point, though, because you're looking at it and it's like, see, it's not like
I never call off work for anything else but the Masters Thursday and Friday, and I still watch it on Wednesday, the three par challenge, the par three tournament, and I watch it in my office, and I don't care if even my director's next to me. I have it on my screen. And my director literally sat in my office watching it. last year. He was like, oh, you have this on? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to sit in here and do some work. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, cool.
No, but it's like the Super Bowl is a whole different hunt because it's one single day and it's like two teams. And it's like, I'll be honest with you, I don't get excited for the Super Bowl unless the Eagles are playing in it.
You're like, crazy. I love the Super Bowl no matter what.
No, it's cool, and I'll watch it, and I'll go to the parties, and I have a great time.
Yeah, I don't go. See, I hate going to Super Bowl parties if the people aren't interested in football.
Well, yeah, the people have to be interested in football, and that's why I go to Super Bowl parties.
The worst parties are talking during the game, and then they're quiet during the commercials. Like, I like true football fans. You watch the game, and then you're watching the commercials too. Yeah. And it's like, sort of quietness. You're drinking beer, and of course you're talking, but like not loudly and blasting music, blah blah blah. Like, no, I just want to watch the game and enjoy the goddamn game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoy watching the game and shit like that, but I only am like truly hyped for it when the Eagles are playing in it. So that's like where I come from, where it's like, but Masters, it's a whole different thing because it's like your favorite golfer could be in it all the way up until Sunday, you know, and it's just like. Yeah. You get excited for it every year, but I feel like there's not – it's like apples to oranges. You can't be like, oh.
All right, let's just say the Eagles aren't in the Super Bowl. Aren't you at the same hype as the Masters?
No, I'm not hype at all for the Super Bowl if the Eagles aren't in it.
That's weird.
Unless
it's like, oh, this team's going to annihilate this team. Like, when you know they're going to get crushed.
No, I'm just a diehard Eagles fan. And, like, don't get me wrong. I love football, and it's my favorite sport to watch. I know so much shit about football. It's just I love the Eagles. And so I'm not going to sit there and be like, well, I'm going to root for – I don't even know. I'm not even saying another team because I would never fucking root for another team. But it's like I'm not sitting there going to pick sides, and you know, I'm only like really watching it with like super, super intent with like all my drive if the Eagles are in it.
I mean, I think it's just a different world when you are. I mean, I always say this to my wife, like when the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, I sort of black out, like watching the game, not drinking wise, just like black out. I don't remember a lot of things during the game. I have to rewatch the game and be like, oh yeah, I forgot about this play. But, like, when you're just watching a random team, you're like, oh, I remember that play. But you're so nervous and you're just, like, tense up that you're just like, oh, my God. Anything could happen every single play. Yeah. And I feel like with, like, the dagger, that's when all the stress of the Super Bowl, watching the Super Bowl, as a fan of a team in the Super Bowl, was released. Like, it was like, all right, we won. Like, this is over. Like, we're up, what was it, like 30, what?
40 to 6 or something like that?
Yeah, it was like 40 to 6, and I was like, okay, and it's the end of the third quarter. There's no way, right? But there's still that little, like, voice in your head. It's ain't over until it's over,
And it's like, have you ever seen the movie Rookie of the Year with the kid who, like, is able to throw, like, 100 and, like, 5 miles an hour after hurting his shoulder? Yeah, and he's on the Cubs, and it's like that scene where they're all sitting there. It's like, oh my god, and then it switches. Oh my god.
You don't want to say it like we won, but like at the same time, you're in the fourth quarter and there's 5 minutes left, and you're still up by like 28, 29 points, and you're like, oh my god.
So circling back, personally, I think there's two different types of hypeness for the Masters and the Ryder Cup.
I think so too.
The Masters happens every year, right? The Ryder Cup happens every 2 years. So that pent up, like, oh my God.
But here, like, I think I'm asking this wrong. Is it as hype? Like, if you talk to someone and go, what's the number one, like, golf tournament? And they're like, out of even golfers, they're going to say 100% of the time, the Masters is the best tournament.
Oh, well, I think you'll see like a 50-50 split on that. Mm-mm. Here's the thing. I think you'll see 50-50
split. Are you on my side here?
Just listen.
They're going to say the Masters.
Listen. I think that would be the common answer if they just watch the Masters throughout, like that's all they care about for golf, right? But if you talk to somebody who watches every single golf tournament, every single day, every single year, I think you'll see, obviously, it's probably more realistically like a 40-60 split, right? Because this is Team Europe versus Team USA, right? This is like the top best golfers in the United States versus the top best golfers in Europe. And they go head-to-head. And it's a cool setup. They do, you know, duos versus each other. It's match play. I think match play is more exciting to watch because you're not really out of it until the 8th hole or 18th hole. So, but yeah, I mean, I think more diehard golf fans would more lean more towards the Ryder Cup.
I disagree.
I think people are going to say the Masters, U.S. Open, then Ryder Cup.
I wouldn't even put the Ryder Cup in with the majors, like, because it's its own thing. There's no, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's not like, because everyone loves the Olympic golf, but nobody's sitting there like, oh, well, it goes Masters, the Open, and then Olympics. Like, no, it's its own thing, and it's its own rivalry. So it's like, you can't even categorize it with the majors. When you're talking about the majors, like, what's your favorite?
Yeah, but I'm saying is, out of all the things, people are saying the Ryder Cup's great, blah, 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 blah. But I'm just saying, as an average, everybody that golfs, that knows golf, that knows at least, you know, like Tiger Woods, if you ask them, what's your favorite tournament? I think automatically it's going to be the Masters. Even like diehard golf fans, they're going to say the Masters is the top. Dylan, Jordan, what's your favorite tournament?
The John Deere Classic.
If you say the Ryder Cup, I know you're lying.
No, I think I still lean more towards the Masters, but more recently it's been more the Ryder Cup because it's just the build up to the Ryder Cup. You get excited who the captain of Team USA is picking for the golfers. You get excited to see who Team Europe picks. Like, it's there's added things to it that makes it more exciting. Like a
draft process too.
Exactly. So that's why I think, yes. So yeah, obviously.
I feel like.
Right. But I think it's, you know, it's still an exciting tournament and I still am excited to watch the Ryder Cup. I mean, like I said, it happens every 2 years. So all the build up over those 2 years, kind of see who goes up the leaderboard for each golfer because it's the top 12 golfers – top 12 golfers combined. So top six from U.S., top six from Europe, and then they pick the other six players, right? Captain's choice. So I think there's just more excitement before the tournament actually happens, right? That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's kind of – I'm not talking down on the Ryder Cup because I love the Ryder Cup, but when you're looking at like the Olympics, it's the same kind of thing. You got the, you know, they're picking.
You have the same thing. Like every year, you're going to have something: the Olympics or the Ryder Cup.
And it's like, don't get
me
wrong.
If I'm being honest with you, I don't watch Olympic golf because it's just on weird times. I don't think that's okay.
I thought it was fun though to watch.
No, hear me out. It's the Summer Olympics. There's better sports in the Summer Olympics than Olympic golf. There is.
Yeah, no, because I love watching basketball blow out Argentina at like 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Beach like, volleyball for men and women, badminton, ping pong, like
are we really talking about badminton's
okay well then you right clearly now? Haven't watched badminton because they go crazy they go crazy in badminton. All right, well, how about this? Next year in 2 years, watch badminton and you'll fall in love with it. It is an exhilarating sport to watch,
dude.
So you're telling me that you guys only watch the Olympics for golf is what you're saying?
No, but I'm not picking badminton over watching the fucking golf.
And
okay,
then you guys haven't watched.
Why don't we play croquet at the same time and watch that?
Yeah, like, Doug, do you want to get the horses ready for some polo?
Because
I'm not gonna lie, polo's sick to watch on.
Why I'm saying this? You got water.
I was watching the U.S. Open of polo I think last weekend it was sick to watch. I was watching that.
The Olympic golf to me is it's all of the golfers from around the country.
Top three golfers for each country.
Yeah, you can see that daily in tournaments, major tournaments. You'll see the top golfers.
PGA tournament. It's amazing.
It's an Olympic gold medal. Like, if we're looking at all the things that are like great to win in the sports world, an Olympic gold medal is like 99% of what people will say is like the top tier of what you can win in sports is being an Olympic gold medal.
So I think the gold medal really has lost its meaning because we saw the Olympics. Listen to me.
Say that to Michael Phelps.
The Olympics were meant for young athletes in their teenagers, early 20s, to play and prove their country that, you know, this is what we're doing for our country. Now it's, okay, like you said, the basketball. It's the NBA players. It's not fun to watch. Like,
bro, players would smoke their college players.
Let me just scale here because I'm actually a history major. So that's not what the Olympics were about. It was each country sending their best athletes. Yes. Okay. So, boy, don't get me started. I'll go back to all the way back. I will go all the way back, Jackson. We will start wrestling naked again. Like, dude, like,
or the thing is, you know, the 1933 Olympics. You should show who started that one.
It's annoying seeing professional athletes in an Olympic sport because that the original
36 Berlins.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 36 Berlins. That's what it was. 36 Berlins.
I'm just saying it's meant for young athletes.
No, it's meant for the best athletes from every single country respective sport.
Recently, like 15 years ago, it was not. Yes, we had the
shit to send just random. You just because you're pro in a sport, yeah, you're the best. That's why you're a fucking professional. That's why it was dumb as shit to send fucking like
amateurs.
Yeah, why would you fucking do that? You want the best,
dude. The USSR literally told these people that they're amateur athletes when all they did was train. They were paid to be trained to play ice hockey.
Because they were all in the military, but their only job in the military was to play hockey.
So the USSR really screwed up that shit. So
yeah, but no, it was always dumb. Why would you send an amateur athlete when literally you have the best in your country? Every single country, you have professional athletes. Like, even when you
look at LeBron James, Michael Jordan, and all those guys play over than some college kids. I want to see the best of the best.
Yeah, like, I want to watch, like, dude, like, Ginobili and all them and Tony Parker were still playing for France, dude. That was a fucking sick rivalry with U.S. and France.
Baines always good at basketball.
Baines, Gasol, they had Gasol and all that, like the Gasol brothers and shit. Dude, that was so much fun. Like, why would you, like, I mean, even looking now, I mean, who is the USA's biggest rival in basketball? Like, Greece, yeah, with Giannis. I mean, still, but Greece only has Giannis and, like, Thanasis. What the fuck is his brother's name? Thanasis or something like that? But it's like, no, like, the Olympics, like, before when they were sending amateurs, like,
saying badminton is so much better than Olympic golf is a crazy statement, Dorian.
Well, then you guys clearly haven't watched
badminton. No, I've watched badminton. It's pretty awesome, cool, Jack. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, but I'm like on the tier of what I would rather watch at like 2 p.m. on like a Thursday. I would rather watch Olympic golf, and then badminton's probably like the sixth choice. Like, I'd probably even pick like women's beach volleyball over that.
Oh, beach volleyball's like top.
Yeah.
Top tier.
Or like, dude, especially the Winter Olympics are coming up next month or this winter. The Winter Olympics are coming up, 2026.
That's always
cool. I cannot wait to watch curling.
Dude, curling's great.
Dude, especially with our USA team, dude. I think they've won the gold like the last.
They all rock mustaches. It's hysterical. I love it.
Are you going to grow yours back soon, Frank? Because this is really disturbing me looking at you with no mustache.
Anyway, we have gone off the beaten path. Let's talk about our favorite.
Talk about badminton.
All right. Shut up. Let's talk about our favorite club brand that we have in the bag or we want because, you know, Dylan, on the other hand, he switches his drivers out every month or his putter. He doesn't know what
Why
he doesn't know what his his go-to driver is. So you're
I guess, actually. I've had the same driver in the bag for most of the summer weeks. Now. No.
It's been like a month and it's been 2 months.
It's been closer to three.
Two and a half. Sorry. Two and a half.
The thing is, I don't demo. I don't like test drive anything. So it's like, well,
you just buy it and you don't test it.
So hold on. That was wrong. Like putters and stuff, like, yes. But it's like when it comes to a driver, like, I'll test it and like, it's like, but my testing, I'm not going to sit there at the range and just like launch range balls because it's like, you can hit anything on the range. Like, you know what I mean? It comes down to a course. So it's like, all right, what do I want to like? And that's why I was shopping at Second Swing a lot because it's like, oh, 30 day, you can play it. And if it's not for you, bring it back for whatever you paid for it. So like the QI10, I didn't like how it came off the face. I just wasn't a fan of it. Took that back. Got the AI Smoke. I played one round with the AI Smoke, and I was kind of actually sitting there. And the reason, honestly, I liked the AI Smoke a lot, it was the problem is the guy when I was there, he's like, man, if you just like took this and then put it towards the Elite, like you'd only have to pay like $200 out of pocket. And I'm like, well, and so I was like, nah. At the time, I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. And then I went back the next. I'm sitting there sleeping, and I'm like, I'm going back and getting the Elite. Because I'd rather have just like at that point, if I'm only paying like $200 out of pocket for it, I'd rather just have the newest one because it'll last me a little bit longer than a used AI Smoke. Excuse me.
I feel like a driver only lasts you 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. Especially when it's like brand new off the shelf, which that's what I did. So, and honestly, excuse me. I've been noticing, yeah, bronchitis.
I got bronchitis.
I've been noticing a lot better carry distances. Like my carry distance just from using the new Elite went up like 15, 20 yards. Like I usually was carrying with my old driver when I had the Epic Max. Cause it was a little dead at the point where when I got rid of it, I was carrying like 250, 245. And now I'm carrying like 270, 275.
Yeah. It's fun.
But no, like my irons, I've played them since beginning of the season. I interchange wedges when I feel like it. And then my putter, I had the Lab, the Oz, but the problem was I just felt like my distance and speed control just because of the heaviness of the driver was just not for me. And the zero torque was throwing me off a lot. I liked it at first, but I feel like it's kind of like one of those like facades where you're like, all right, this is cool at first. And then like, once you actually start putting more with it, you're like, ooh. And, like, don't get me wrong, if that's what you like, you like. But I grew up on my normal, you know, mallet, drone, whatever, putters. And that's just what I was used to. So when I got the Jailbird in my hands and I felt like, you know, how it was coming off the face and everything, I fell in love with it. Because, you know, you just go to Golf Galaxy sometimes and just, like, I'll be honest with you, I have a Golf Galaxy close to me. So when I'm bored sometimes and I just want to get out of the house, I'll literally just go try new putters on the putting green in there. And like when I'm going to get like a pack of balls or a pack of tees, I'll spend like 20 minutes on the putting green just trying shit out. So when I got that Jailbird in my hands, I was like, oh yeah, no, this is it. And so when I traded in the Lab, I actually got like $400 or $500 for it.
Oh wow.
So I ended up getting the Jailbird and I got a 5 hybrid for nothing out of pocket. And I still have store credit to go use on more shit.
Yeah, I might go actually down to you probably sometime this weekend, Dill, to go to Second Swing because I might get that TaylorMade Q10 5 hybrid.
Yeah, you like that hybrid. You like that 4 hybrid I use.
Love that damn thing.
That's one of my favorite. I mean, I smoke that thing. I usually hit the carry by 4 hybrid, like 205. But the problem is, like, I carry 3 hybrids in my bag, but it's because with the hip surgery and then with the problems with my back – sometimes the long irons for me is just not where it's at. Like I can compress them, but it's just like sometimes the swing is just like it's just a lot easier on my body for me to hit the hybrids.
So you would say you're a Callaway guy?
Yeah, definitely a Callaway guy. There are certain things I stray off with. I usually am a Callaway guy, but I do you. I mean, I have pretty much every major. A club from every major, you know, brand of my bag. I have a Titleist, TSR, 2, 3 hybrid. I have a QI 10, 4 hybrid. And then I really like the Elite. I have the Elite 5 Hybrid. I have Elite Irons. I have the Elite Driver. And then I have a Ping G430 5 Wood. And then my wedge. What do I have for wedges? I think I have a Vokey. I have an Opus. I have a Jaws. And I have a Mac Daddy.
That's nice. Those are some nice clubs. I mean, for me, I would say, I mean, granted, I bought my clubs about 3.5-4 years ago, and I got fitted with a pro, and I went with Ping, and I like the Pings a lot. I may switch out the driver, but ever, you know, since I've had those clubs, I mean, obviously golf is not always perfect. You have good days, you have bad days, but the clubs that I have are surprisingly very forgiving. And I really do like Ping as a club brand.
I think you should upgrade to, I think, like the G430 or something like that.
Is what I have, the G423
or something. I think you have a 420 or G425 or something like that.
I think it's a G425. And it's a nice driver, but I'm kind of in the market for getting another driver. So
honestly, just get the new G440, dude. That thing's a fucking tank.
Yeah. I honestly may go shopping for that, see what I like about it.
I do like the Titleist drivers too. They're also pretty nice.
Dude, the GT2 is fucking sick. I demoed that the one day just for shits and giggles. And dude, that thing smokes, but I will say you have to be like a consistent low handicap to hit those Titleist like G2 GT2s and shit like that.
I like Titleist T200s. I was between the P790s and the T200s. And I picked the 790s because just out of my I felt like the sweet spot was better for me with the P790s. I mean, I forget what grams my shaft is, but it's like a crowbar. You guys already felt them and made fun of me millions of times with it.
Yeah.
But I love it. And then I'm a Callaway Woods and driver guy. And then putter, I really want to try out the Lab putters. I fell in love with the new Jailbird, but with the shaft in the middle of it. Like, I fell in love with that. My buddy has one of them, and I feel like I can't miss a putt with that. But I always wait until the end of the season to buy, like, new shit, like putters and stuff like that, because they're a lot cheaper. So I might be going to Second Swing just to look at putters. And then wedges all over the place. I have a Lucky wedge that I love to death. And then I have a Spider wedge, and then I have a TaylorMade wedge, and then a Jaws wedge. I have like all my wedges are different. I think I need to like sort of be like, all right, I need to just pick one and be happy and just like buy all them for that. So that might be my next move too.
Dude, that actually makes me think I actually do have, I carry, I think, 4 wedges because I have a TaylorMade MG450.
Yeah, I have a GW. I have forget what my Spider is, but I love my Spider because I put so much spin on the ball.
But well, it's kind of funny that us as a podcast, we all have different brands. Not yet one brand for us. So once we get big enough, we can have talks about that.
I really want to try Grant's golf clubs. I forget what they're called.
Como or whatever.
Yeah, my buddy who's getting into golf. I'm trying to talk him into like buying just like nice club, like not nice clubs, like $500 worth of clubs, so he's not going crazy.
I'm to Costco, get him the Kirkland ones, dude. I've actually heard they're pretty sick.
Dude, I heard they're good for like beginners too. I heard the same damn thing. So I might actually talk to him about that. My buddy Joe. He's the dumbest doctor I've ever met in my life. Shout out to my buddy Joe.
I will say one thing. This is not a knock, but doctors sometimes are incredibly, like, have you ever noticed, like, some of the smartest people are incredibly just, like, smart. Like, can tell
they're both you. They're smart, but they're dumb street
smart. Common sense. Like, yeah. You know, like
no dude, street smarts.
Yeah.
Like, this is the kid, my buddy. I love my buddy Joe to death. But he went to Temple U for medical school, and when he was moving, he left his car on in North Philadelphia in Temple, was moving his stuff in, put all his stuff in, he comes out, his car was missing.
Oh my God.
I wonder why.
I was like, dude, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I left my keys in the ignition. Someone just probably got to go, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
He's like, I can't believe it. And then the next like week, I think he left his front door open and he went downstairs to the corner store, came back, his TV was missing out of his living room.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, yeah, dude, you left the door wide open. And he's like,
yeah, oh, you know, like,
what?
Yeah. Like, I've had someone tell me before, like, they're assistant to a doctor, and literally they came in and they're like, so how do you like send a letter? And the person was like, what do you mean? How do you send a letter? They're like, well, where does a stamp go? And what do you write on like the envelope so it goes to them? And it's like, yeah, you are a doctor.
You like, need
people, people call you doctor something. Like, and patients pay to come see you for their medical problems, and they put their medical lives, like your their health problems, in your hands, and you can't send a fucking letter.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, that's insane. Like, what?
Yeah. Let's briefly hit on this. Let's, because we want to try to keep it an hour, hour and 10 minutes. Where do we think, or where do we want the Olympic, speaking of the Olympics, where do we want them to play golf for the Olympics in 2 years in Los Angeles?
I would really, really, really like to see it at, like, Riviera or, like, LA Country Club.
The Olympic course.
Yeah. Or even
– somewhere else.
I wouldn't mind like Spanish Bay or like Torrey Pines or something like that, but definitely like I feel like I don't want
Pebble. Not do Pebble. That's like torture everybody and just make them all go to Pebble.
I don't know. I don't really want Pebble. I feel like
I hate Pebble too, but it's always so cool to watch it.
Yeah, no, I feel like Riviera or like even LA Country Club. If they really want to get like spicy, I'd say Spanish Bay or Torrey Pines. But
I bet you someone they all know because they had to put bids in or something like that.
Yeah.
What about Bel Air? What's it called? What's that country club that's like so exclusive that God, what's it called? Bel Air Country Club, right? Is it Bel Air Country Club?
I don't even know what you're talking about, to be completely
honest. Why don't they have it there? That would be sick to have it there.
Oh. They should actually just move the Olympics to the East Coast and play at Trout National when it opens.
Actually, guys, there already is a spot. They July of this year, they announced that the men's Olympic golf tournament will be at Riviera Country Club.
And Riviera, baby, come on.
We called it.
And the women's will be held at...
Please say LA Country Club.
Trying to figure it out. Where is the?
If it's LA Country Club, I'm like, I'm buying a lottery ticket tomorrow.
I'm trying to look. You guys can talk. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Is it like trying to find the actual thing, or are you trying to sound it out? Like,
no, I'm trying to find the actual thing.
Oh, okay. When you say you're trying to figure it out, I'm like, are you like sitting there, like trying to, like, you know, what's it called? Trying to find the syllables, you know, like.
Not that dumb.
I'm just so, like you said, Jordan, like the Olympics, like, yeah, it's great and all, but I feel like it gets old after like 2 days of the Olympics.
Like the whole Olympics or Olympic golf?
No, the whole Olympics. Like, you watch, like you don't know. Like, I hate when people watch, like, figure skating and they're like, oh my God, that's so amazing, blah, blah, blah. And it's not a perfect score. It's like a 6-6-6-6 down the line. You're like, how amazing was that? And then you're looking at them and you're like, clearly you don't know what the hell you're watching. Like, you know what I mean? I hate when people are like trying to like comment on sports that you definitely know that person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Oh yeah, because you're looking at them and you're like, yeah, it's amazing to you because you still use it. It's like you still use an orange comb when you go ice skating at public skate, and you're
I
bet it is amazing to you.
They were both will be held at Riviera.
Wow. Usually they have a different country club.
Yeah, so that is the – so rather this topic, we already know the location. So $100 to Dylan.
From who?
No.
So – Venmo, Cash App, check.
Yeah.
Wrapping this up. What, in our opinion, in your guys' opinion, would be the dream scramble? You and three other people, dead or alive. Who would you want to golf with, and why?
Tiger.
Okay.
So me and Tiger in the cart. I feel like I have to go with like the big like three here. Like I feel like that's just like the way you need to go.
Yeah.
Like you need to go Tiger, Jack, and Arnold. I feel like that would be such a fun, like, just like not even just like the playing of the golf. It's just like picking the brains of all of them, you know, and it's just like looking at it. It's like, well, what do you hit here? What do you think? What, like just asking them different shit, I think would be so cool. And like, obviously I have like a different one for like actual like people I've known, you know, like dead or alive, but just like for like what we're here doing here, definitely would be Tiger, Jack, Arnold.
I'm going to go really old school here. I'm going to go the two men who created the cart girl. Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. So they actually invented the...
I've heard that story before. Out
there. And see, I always have issues with my third one. I know people are going to make fun of me for this one because I don't want to be the worst golfer out of the foursome. It would probably be like Bob from Bob Does Sports.
That's a good foursome.
I think that's a funny ass foursome.
Yeah.
For me, I would go John Daly.
Oh, so you want to get fucked up.
Oh, you want
to get drunk. I would go Fat Perez.
That's a good one. That was my tweener.
And then there isn't really no like information that he golfed, but I think it'd be cool. Either Albert Einstein, just to pick his brain on the cart. I know it's weird.
He golfed.
So him or Ben Franklin.
I don't think he's alive before golf was invented, so that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think it would.
I thought he was going to be like, well, Jesus would be a really cool cart partner. Like,
could you imagine? Could you imagine Fat Perez,
Jesus,
John Daly, John Daly, Jack Jordan, and either Ben Franklin or, I'm sorry, not Ben Franklin, Thomas Edison. Or Albert Einstein. Like that foursome is just mine's just like John Daly's worried about Hooters. Fat Perez is just fucking hungover. Sticking it. Yeah, hungover, drunk. And then we have Albert Einstein trying to figure out, okay, this is the velocity you need the ball to roll. This is the trajectory you need. So it'd be an interesting crew. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I wouldn't like even mind having – I would switch Frank Sinatra out with Johnny Carson too.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson I think would be fun. But I know Johnny Carson and Frank Sinatra never got along, so you have to pick one of the two.
Yeah. Well, if you had Jesus on there with John Daly, you could just turn water into wine all day and then
– Or you know what would be more of a dick move?
Who?
Jesus' ball goes into the water, just rises. He just walks on the water and just chips it out.
That would be crazy. That would be insanity.
You wouldn't have to worry about what lunch. You bring, you know, a fish and a couple pieces of bread, and then.
Or you know who else would be actually kind of sick to have? John Kennedy.
Yeah.
Smoking a stogie with him would be pretty kind of cool.
Would he bring Marilyn Monroe along too, or no?
No, he has cart girls already. Dude, he would be – I feel like he would be a stud on the golf course.
Yeah, I can definitely
– I think he would be like, you know, vineyard bind out, though. He'd be the vineyard bind out golfer.
100%. 100%. But yeah, I mean, thank you for the 767 people that watched this tonight. I know it was a challenging night battling Monday Night Football. You guys got anything else to say?
God bless Mucinex and antibiotics.
Amen to that. Frank, you got anything? Any last words?
No, not really.
Well, anyway, we will see you guys Sunday. We will be live streaming. We will be watching the Ryder Cup. We will be golfing together. Like I said, this is the first year of this podcast. We've grown steadily. Hopefully next year, most likely next year, we'll be golfing more together because those are the best times. So appreciate you guys sticking around with us. And hope you guys have a good night. Play 18. Don't tell her anything. I know I messed it up. Have a good night.
Yeah.